Hope you have your Bible. We're going to talk tonight about prayer. We're going to talk about the conditions for acceptable prayer. You know, all prayer is not acceptable. And so tonight, if you will, we can turn to... there's so many verses I want to look at tonight. Psalm 22. Let's start with verse 22. Chapter 22, verse 2. Psalm 22, 2. Psalm 22, 2. You know, I'm going to show you a few things about prayer tonight. Maybe you don't know, maybe you do. But there's a lot of ignorance about, biblical ignorance about prayer. You know, just anybody can't get a prayer through. You know, there's billions of people that waste their breath every day praying to Allah. There ain't no Allah. And they're just wasting their time. They're wasting their breath, but they've been deceived, see. And then there's a lot of Christians that's not getting the prayers through. It's just not getting through. And I'll show you a little bit more about that. I've been studying the book of Job again. I'm going through my Bible again. I'm in the book of Job. And every time I read Job, I really think more of his two friends than I used to. Now, when you read Job, remember, even the friends' comments were inspired by God also. Though they were critical, a lot of times they were critical. But they, every word in the Bible, God intended it to be there. Every word. So as you get to reading the things that his friends said, sometimes they made a lot of sense. And so, you know, in the end, I think it's Job 41, Job confesses that he's been self-righteous this whole time. And he repents of it. And then God replaces all that he lost and more. But he had to get to the point, and God used these critical friends to bring him to the point to show him God's not hearing your prayer, even though he's praying continually. So look at Psalm 22, verse 2. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. In other words, inspired by the Holy Ghost again, he says, I cry and pray, and you don't hear my prayer. You ever felt like that? I have. I have felt like that for long periods of time. And you just have to keep going by faith. But then you got to realize also, maybe God's not hearing your prayer. Maybe there's a reason that God is not hearing your prayer. So I thought about that. There are some conditions for acceptable prayer that God will even hear it. I don't know what show it used to be. It used to be something on TV, some kid go talk to their daddy or their mom or something. They'd say, I ain't hearing this, talk to the hand. Y'all remember that? Talk to the hand. I feel like that sometimes when I'm praying. Lord, just bouncing my prayers right off his hand. But there's a reason for it. Now, John 15:7, that's a good verse. John 15:7. He said, if you abide in me, and my works abide in you, he said. Now, abide means to live in. He said, so if you're living in me, everything about me, the Lord Jesus Christ, if everything about your living is about him, then you're abiding in him, and then your works will be made, his works will be made manifest through you. So just the opposite would be true. If you don't abide in him, then his works are not going to be manifest in your life. And there's a lot of people think that God's some kind of Santa Claus or something. That they can just do anything they want to, act any way they want to, and be anything they want to until they need something. And then they call out to God thinking he has to hear them. You know, God doesn't have to hear us. God doesn't have to do anything. He's God. But wait a minute, preacher. I did it the way that preacher taught me. He said, I praised God. I thanked God. I brought my request to God. I honored God with my words. And then I thanked him for what he was going to do in advance. And he still didn't hear my prayer. God didn't have to hear your prayer just because you found a little formula to go through. Amen? That thief on the cross, all he said was, Lord, be merciful to me. Lord, remember me, he said. Remember me, Lord. That's all he said. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He didn't go through a form of a prayer, did he? I heard a preacher preach one time on seven steps of prayer. And he took the Lord's Prayer and he took it apart. And I've seen that done, and it's all right, you know. But listen, there's times you ain't got time to go through seven steps. There's times you don't want to go through seven steps. You hurt too bad. Amen? Amen. When that doctor was about to, I got the end of my finger cut off at work when I was at Bible college, and I was at that Seventh-day Adventist hospital, about 3 o'clock in the morning. And that old assistant was over there. He had this grinder in his hand. He said, let's grind that bone down. And that doctor said, would you shut up a minute? I think I can just pull that skin over and sew it to his fingernail and it'll grow back. And I'm sitting over there. I said, and by the way, that's the most painful part of your body, whether you believe it or not. There's more nerves right there than anywhere on your body. And I was crying. I said, Doc, you work. I'm praying. And I wasn't going through seven steps either. I was saying, Lord, shut him up and give him wisdom. Amen. He sewed it up. It a lot of pain for a long time, but it finally came out. So, number one thing is, look, we've got to be in him. Now, I don't get many requests from my kids anymore. They don't ask me for anything. They're grown. They have jobs. Thank God. They take care of themselves. I'm happy and proud of that. But when they were little, when they were smaller, about this time of year it started. I want this. I want that. I'd like to have this. I saw this on television. My friend's got one of these, you know, all that stuff. And you know what I did? I ignored it most of the time. Because usually what they wanted either wasn't good for them or cost too much. Yeah, yeah. But they did get something. I did hear them. I did answer their prayer. But, you know, when the kids down the street come up, if they had and said, Preacher, I'd like to have, and I saw this on TV, and I think one of these would be good for me for Christmas, they'd been out of luck. Because they're not my children, amen? So to abide in Christ, you have to be saved.
Amen.
Yeah. God don't answer every lost heathen's prayer, amen? God takes care of his children first. Just like us, that's where we learn how to do it. God, you abide in him, and he'll take care of you. Old Bully Falconberry used to say this, I'll never forget it, just about every time he took up Balfour. He said, I've never seen a saved, baptized, living right, tithing Baptist that ever needed anything. God takes care of them. That's what he said. And since then, I've seen that to be true. Amen? Because I belong to him, and I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to abide in him. So first thing, you've got to be saved. You must be saved. Are you going to be like the psalmist? You're going to cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. God's not going to hear your prayer. And another place he said, I'll laugh at your calamity. These people think they can live any old way. They can live like they're going to hell and act like they're going to hell and look like they're going to hell and get in the least little trouble, and they think they can call out to God because some TV preacher told them how to do it, and then call out to God and God's going to rush to their rescue, and it's not true. It's not true. John 16, verse 23. John 16, verse 23. Now, I'm talking about acceptable prayer. I've been in churches where every... Now, I was in Southern Baptist Church, and I got convicted at offering time. After I was in it a while, and I went to one of their schools. Here's what they pray every time. Lord, we thank you for this offering, and we ask you to use it for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. And then you go to them, you say, well, you know, they perform abortions over at that Baptist hospital. Well, you know, they got teachers that teach against the Bible over there in those seminaries. And they said, well, it ain't none of my business. I said, well, you send the money to the cooperative program. They said, no. I put my money in that plate, and it's not my responsibility anymore. It's theirs. I said, no, it's your responsibility till the day you die what you do with that money. But they say the same prayer every time. And been in churches where they call on the same man every time, and he prayed the same prayer every time. Now, John, I don't think that repetition, and the Bible calls it vain repetitions, gets you anything. Look at John, if you will, 16:23. He said, I got to find it myself. He said, in that day ye shall ask nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he shall give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. God, just like a father wants to bless their children. And he said, now, here's the new condition. You ask it in my name. You ask it in Jesus' name. See, here's the problem. We're not worthy of getting a prayer answered. On our best day, we're not worthy. If all it takes is one sin to qualify us as a sinner and God doesn't hear sinners, then therefore, on our best day, we commit at least one. So on our best day, if we prayed in Ron Roddy's name, God's not even going to hear it. So that's why we pray in Jesus' name, because he's not a sinner, never was a sinner. He is the sinless one, the pure and the perfect one. And so we ask in his name that the Father might be glorified. So you can't ask for anything that he wouldn't ask for, and you can't ask for anything that wouldn't glorify his Father. A fellow came to work one day, and I was working at the warehouse, and he went to play bingo every Monday night. He come in, he was so happy. He was just so happy. He said, I won at bingo last night. I said, you had? He said, yeah, I am. I said, how much you win? He said, $200. I said, when was the last time you won? He said, I don't know, it's been a long time. I said, you probably got more than $200 in it. He said, I don't care. I'm going to enjoy this $200. He said, I prayed before I won. I asked the Lord to let me win, and he did. I said, Lord didn't let you win that $200. That was the devil gave you that $200. I said, God didn't even hear that prayer. Well, why not? I said, because it don't glorify him. And you're going to waste it. And you don't even go to church. You claim to be a Christian. There are conditions to answer prayer. Now you got to ask it in faith. Matthew 21:22. And he said, if I can quote it right, he said, whatsoever you ask by faith. Matthew 21:22. He said, in all things, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Now, that doesn't mean everything you ask for, you receive, even if you believe it. But whatever you ask for, believing it, if it's for the glory of the Father and in the name of the Son, and it's good for you, then God will give it to you. But that doesn't mean he's going to give you everything you ask for. Now, charismatics mess that up on television real bad. Pentecostals and charismatics, they'll have you naming and claiming stuff that you ain't never going to get. And then they're going to come on and have a little prayer cloth. They'll say, send $100. Send $100, we'll send you his prayer cloth. Put your hands on it to get your prayer answered. Well, the only one got the prayer answered on that was him. He got $100 out of you. And think of all thousands of people that sent him $100. And then another one comes on and old Leroy Jenkins used to be bad about this. Is he still living? I'd hate to speak ill of the dead. Leroy Jenkins used to, he'd be bad about this. He'd have those little bottles of water. Healing water. Holy water. Been sanctified. Holy. Come out of a holy fountain somewhere in Jerusalem that nobody knows. It's the truth. And he'd sell those things. People buy them by the millions. And he'd say, I've already prayed over it. Just pour it on and claim it in Jesus' name. And they still died. Every one of them. Every one of them. Then he got modernized. They come out with these little plastic ones. You know, now you can buy these little plastic packets, just tear the end off like ketchup. He got water in those. Now, he brought his price down and his profit up. Those little bags are cheaper than balls. But he had people believing, if you just take this and I've already prayed over it and you pray on it and whatever two agree on, it's got to happen, you know, and whatever you ask his name, you're going to get it. And whatsoever you believe while you ask, it's coming. And it's a lie. It is conditional. Number one, you got to be saved. Number two, you got to be right with God. Number three, it's got to be in God's will. And number four, it's got to glorify the Father. Father, and you got to ask it in Jesus' name. Prayer is not a hocus pocus kind of junk. The old PTL, you watch them. I don't know if y'all can see them on television or not. Morning Star Ministries, they call it. Some of the weirdest thing. Are you playing me? I'm glad you are. Some of the weirdest things you ever seen. Let me tell you something. A lot of things, God just ain't in it. Did you know that the devil can do miracles? That's one way he's going to deceive people during tribulation period. And you better watch out who answers your prayer. Amen? Amen. I guarantee there's a lot of husbands wish that God never answered that prayer. Probably a lot of wives that wish that he would answer her current prayer. Can't fix him, kill him. Amen. Many truths are said in jest. Y'all think I don't know stuff like that, don't you? But you got to ask in faith. If you're going to get your prayer answered, God wants to ask in the name of Jesus, and it will glorify the Father. But you got to believe what you're asking for. Some people they will pray for healing, but they really don't believe that God will heal them. I've seen it. I've taken over to the hospital or even here at church and laid it on people and prayed up just like James says. And ask God to heal them. And see God miraculously heal people. I've seen that happen. But then I've seen the same conditions in different people and God not do it. And it wasn't because I didn't believe it. It was because they didn't believe it. I'm not saying he's going to heal everybody that asks for healing. But I'm telling you, he does heal. I've seen him bring people back from death's door. You take old Darlene and her husband. They helped us start this church. Old Darlene and Kevin. Kevin about drank himself to death before he got saved. And she found him. She done left him. She found him. He done turned orange. His liver had quit working. His kidneys had quit working. He hadn't eaten in 2 weeks. All he had done was drink. And she called me up to the hospital, and I went up there, and they had him on one of those air mattress things because he was so tender, and he couldn't talk. He couldn't correspond back and forth with you. He just laid there, and the doctors called hospice in, and they called his parents down from Pennsylvania and said, if you want to see him alive, you better hurry up and get down here. And I walked in there, and I laid hands on him, and I said, Darlene, you lay hands on him. And she laid hands on him. And his mom and dad's Catholics. I didn't care. I said, put your hands on him too. And we prayed over that boy and asked God to have mercy on him and heal him. And within a couple of days, his liver started working, his kidneys started working. He had to go to rehab to get his muscles to work right again. That's how close to death he was. And he got saved during the hospital. And I baptized him. Now, they done counted him dead. And all we did was ask, believing in Jesus' name, knowing that it was God's will that her husband not die. She wanted a Christian husband. She'd prayed and begged and pleaded, and now God answered her prayer. That's all it was. That simple. And then I've been to others that didn't. Maybe it wasn't God's will. Maybe it just folks don't believe it. And then on the other hand, some people just don't pray at all anyway. They don't even say the blessing. People that claim to be born again believers in Christ that do not pray, and there's a lot of them. The only time they pray is when they're in distress. That's it. He's a fire escape. That's or a Band-Aid or something to them. He's not a relationship every day. Every day. All day long. We're supposed to pray without ceasing. And we're supposed to believe that He hears what we pray. I pray to Him all the time. I talk bad about myself most of the time. I said, Lord, You got to help me. I'm going to mess this up. Lord, You got to help me. I done messed this up, you know. Me and my wife, we pray every morning. And every morning I say, Lord, give us health and give us wealth so that we can serve You and we don't have to worry about those things. And He does. And He does. Now, but you got to believe what you're asking for, right? I took this fellow out one time to help him find a job. And we'd go to these places, and he'd go in, he'd come out, he said, they ain't hiring. I'd take him somewhere else, he'd go in, he'd come out, he said, they ain't hiring. I took him somewhere else, he went in, and I knew these places were hiring. And he'd come out, and he said, they're not hiring. And next place, I went in with him. And when we walked in the door, the first thing he did to the person at the desk, he said, y'all ain't hiring, are you? She said, no. But they were. He just didn't believe he could get a job. So when we got out of the car, I said, are you dumb? I said, look, when you go in there and say, y'all hiring, ain't you? I'm looking for a job. I need a job. My wife needs some money. My kids need some money. We got to pay rent. Y'all hiring, ain't you? And I said, you'll get a job. And before the day was out, the next, he had a job. Now, don't tell me that, well, I'm going to pray and make all kinds of excuses for God. Poor old God, He can't do this, you know. And then, listen, turn to 1 John 3:22. I got to hurry up. 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Now, that's where most people stop, right there. Because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. There's your secret right there. I know He hears me because I try. I keep His commandments and I try to please God. And I keep short accounts with God. When I don't keep a commandment, I confess it immediately and ask God to forgive me and help me to do better next time. Read it again. He said, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. It never fails. It's getting close to Christmas. It's going to start. There's going to be messages on my answer machine at the house. Here's what they're going to say. Pastor, do y'all do Christmas? Do you take up toys? Do you help people get Christmas for their children? That's going to happen almost daily, starting pretty soon.
I picked it up one day and one said, Pastor, do y'all do Christmas? I said, we've been doing Christmas ever since Jesus was born in a manger. She said, oh, that's not what I mean. You know what I mean? I said, yeah, you mean do we take up toys? I used to do that. People don't appreciate it. They won't even come to church to get them. I have to take them to their house. I said, we quit doing that. But if you want to come to church, I might get you a little help. She didn't come. She didn't come. People call me and say, Pastor, can't pay the house payment. Pastor, can't pay the light bill. Pastor, can't do this, can't do that. And ain't been to church in months. When they come, don't carry a Bible. Don't go to Sunday school. Not coming back Sunday night, Wednesday night, even if they show up every once in a while on Sunday morning. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Now, we all have trial and tribulation. And when we do, we help one another. But I'd be ashamed to not obey God and not try to keep His commandments and call on the people that do. You see, they don't want to take the trouble to live for God. They want you to do it. So you can get your prayers answered and help them. Because they're not going to live for God. And they done found a fire escape, and that's me and you. Well, preacher, I can't. You don't have no sympathy. You'll never find a more sympathetic man in this town than me. I've done it. Bill, you remember when we used to run around and gather up all them toys for those bus kids? Talking about truckloads of toys. Get people to give money. I can't remember. I had a millionaire one year. I think he gave us $1,000. I think he did for a certain family. And we'd run around. We'd pack up toys. And I'd deliver them. They wouldn't even come get them for our bus kids. And pulled up in this one yard over here one Christmas. And we had four little old kids, and we had little bags of toys, you know, not no big bicycle, just little bags of toys. And this woman pulls up behind me in her it's a pickup truck she's done borrowed somewhere, and it's running over with bicycles and toys and video games and all. Yeah! She wouldn't come to church. She sent her kids. But I saw that more and more, so we quit doing that. Because, see, God will answer my prayers. But I ain't supposed to pet, pamper, and push, and prime, and everything else, people that won't live for God. What I'm doing, a lot of times what we do, because He does answer our prayers, we get in the way of God doing something in their life that would make them get right with God.
Right. Yeah. Come on.
We bail them out. We rescue them. And God, it could have been God had them exactly where He wanted them. And they were praying, but it wasn't right with God. And if we'd waited a week or two, they might have got right with God, and He'd answered their prayer without using us. Amen? Now, the Bible commands us to help widows and orphans. It commands us to help the widows and orphans of the church. I see a big old grown man with his hand out. Man, you need to get you a job. Well, I'm unemployed. I said, I've been there. I was out of work one time for months and months. We had to get food stamps back in the 80s when all the mills were shutting down. I'm very compassionate and I pity people. But let me tell you something. A grown man can do something. I picked up cans and sold them. Come on.
Man thinks that because God's answering our prayer, because we do keep His commandments and we do honor Him, and so they come running to us because they don't keep His commandments and they don't honor Him. And then the money you give to them to pay that bill or to rescue them, they take their money and spend it on something else. Last but not least, in Luke chapter 11, and I'll quit. It's not all, but I'll quit. Luke chapter 11. You know, the first time I preached. I really wasn't a preacher, and I wasn't preaching it. That a men's day at Southern Baptist, they have a men's day where the men sing in the choir, and they have two men to speak, and they asked me and this other guy to do it, and I hadn't been saved but about a year. And so I didn't know what I studied scripture, prayed, and the old boy got up there, he had 8 pages of notes before me. Amen. I won't have time to say much. I was scared to death. He read a piece off of this and a piece off of that and a piece off of that, and he wasn't up there 5 minutes. He said, "Well, I guess that's all I got to say." I thought, what am I going to say? We've got 30 minutes. What am I going to say? And I just got there and read and cried and read and cried and read and cried and read and cried. And I was kind of embarrassed about it. I turned around and looked at the men in the choir, and they were all crying too. I knew I was all right. I've never been short on time. Amen. Verse 8, chapter 11, he says, "I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, and knock and it shall be opened unto you." And the story goes, his friend came to him in the middle of the night and woke him and his family up, said, "Look, I've got some friends showed up and I don't have the food to feed them. Can you give me some food?" He said, "Go away. I ain't got nothing. We in the bed." And the man wouldn't quit. He said, "But I can't go back without something." He said, "I told you, go away. My wife's here. My kids here. They're all here in the floor. They all sleep together, you know. I can't wake them up." He said, "But I got to have something." And because of his importunity, he wouldn't quit. He wouldn't give up. There's another one about a widow lady. Her husband died, and the neighbor took her land from her. And she went to the judge, and he was called the unjust judge because he said, "I don't fear man nor God." And it says because of her continual asking, finally, he gave her land back. Can you imagine? Boy, I can imagine a woman going to that judge, him saying no, and she won't shut up. Then finally they haul her out there. Next day he goes to work, and there she is at the door. And that night he goes home, gets supper, she's standing out there in the yard saying, "I want my land back." About 3 or 4 days of that, you know, I'd be ready to give her anything she wanted. And so he did. And did you know that if we'll just persevere a little while, God will hear our prayer. Sometimes he's just testing you to see if you really mean it. I heard a biblically ignorant preacher say this one time. He's supposed to be smarter than me. He said, "I don't think you'll have to ask God for anything but one time, because if you ask more than that, that shows you don't have faith." Now, I was a young preacher. I didn't say anything. I wish I could meet him now. I'd have told him. I'd have said, "No, you big dummy. If you keep coming back, it shows you do have faith. If you don't, that means you don't have faith. You give up. And keep going back. Keep going back." We're going to get a building for this church one day. Every day I pray, I say, "Lord, we need a larger facility. Lord, we need a fellowship hall. Lord, Jeffrey can cook. Lord, we need a good kitchen. Lord, we need a big old nursery. We need some women's bathroom with 4 stalls in it." Amen. And we need a larger sanctuary. Most of all, we need a larger sanctuary. And I said, "God, it ain't like these people's not trying. It's not like they don't want to. They do want to. We're doing what we can. Lord, please give us a larger facility." And I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm too old to build another church. I have a heart attack. I will. I know what it's like. And I'm too dumb to pick out good property. And there's some owners of these churches around here ought to die off and just let us have their property. The church died a long time ago. Amen. The old church has been dead for 30 years. They ain't got but 10 people left. We don't want to merge with you because we'll lose our positions. What positions? There ain't but 10 of you. Everybody's got a title. Everybody's got an office. Everybody's got a desk. So I pray. And I pray. And I pray. I'm going to keep on praying. But I'm not doing anything until he says to it. And right now, he said do it. I got all these things running around my head, and I check on stuff and look at stuff, and I say, Lord, that'll be good, and the heaven's brass. I don't hear nothing. So I keep on praying. And one of these days, we're going to walk through that door, and we're going to say, thank you, Lord, we waited. Now, we could buy a building right now. We could buy a building and remodel it, you know, and all that stuff. But I think there's something better. And I'd rather have best than good. Amen? A lot of people, they say, I just gave up on my husband. Well, that might be what's wrong with him. Might have been one prayer away if you'd have kept on praying. Well, I gave up on my kids. Well, that might be what's wrong with him. It might have just been one prayer away. Well, I don't think it's God's will to heal me. You're not dead yet. Long as there's breath, there's hope. Keep praying. I'm telling you, I've seen them come back from death's door, man. I've seen them get healed, and the doctor said, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. My mom was a living miracle. Three times they've told me to let her die, so I'm not doing that. I ain't ready for my mom to die. And pray and beg God, and he does things. Now you listen to me. There's nothing impossible with God. There's some things that's impossible with us. But God can do anything. But he's not going to be at your every call and beckon. It's going to be in his will, his time, and his way, and for his glory, and in the name of his son, or it won't happen. We all gather around the altar today in a circle and go, ain't that happening? Ain't that happening? God's got to be in it. And we know how to get hold of God. He said, Jeremiah 33:3, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You say, preacher, I got this thing figured out. He's probably not in it then. He wants to show you something that you don't even know so that he can get the glory from it.
Amen.
Yep. Let's quit taking it lightly. God ain't your grandpa. He's not Santa Claus. He's not some doting old man up there just at your every beckoning whim. He's a holy God, thrice holy. And he's only going to do it his way, on his time. And if you don't like that, then you'll just have to do without. Amen?
Amen?
Let's stand. Father, we know there are some things that are your will. One is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We know that.